1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. September 26th is the date the movie The Fireproof is going to be released, and I thought I would take the month of September and talk about fireproofing our life, looking at some different things that we can fireproof. And last week we looked at how to fireproof our works. We'll all stand before God someday to give an account of the things that are done in our body, whether they are good or bad. And the fire will try every man's work to see what sort it is. And we hope that our works are gold, silver, precious stones, things that will withstand the fire, and not things like wood, hay, and stubble that will burn up. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." So let's pray, and as we pray, let's remember Ellen Schillenberg. She is in the hospital in Menominee and not doing well, and she needs our prayers. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for not only your word, not only the written word, but the living word, who abides with us always. We ask, Lord, that you would help us today to see how we can fireproof our faith and our trials as we go through certain things, manifold temptations, as Peter calls them, many varied and colored trials, Lord, that we would come out as gold. We pray for Ellen today. Lord, we just ask that you would reach down, that you would touch her, that you would bring healing to her. Lord, that you would perform a healing, that you would perform a miracle even now as we pray for her, as we unite together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We believers have it pretty good. Peter gives us several reasons for rejoicing. We have a living hope. We have a lasting inheritance. We have a long-term salvation. We have a longed-for final reward. However, there will be trials that come our way. Peter calls these trying times manifold temptations. It means that they hit us from every side, and often they come with consequences that seem devastating. And we might not understand all of them, and we probably won't appreciate them when they come. But we do need to be prepared for them just the same. And so Peter here, he wants to encourage his readers, but he also wants them to fireproof themselves from the fires that are sure to come. And I would like to talk about how to do that this morning. And really, I'm going to take the main parts of the sermon from a very familiar story in the Old Testament, the story of the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there's some things there that we want to consider this morning. The first thing I want you to point out is I want you to consider the fire. I want you to consider the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are told that they are to bow down to this image, worship this image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And so at the sound of the music, everybody in the whole kingdom was to bow. But they refused. They would not bow the knee. They would not worship this idol. And so Nebuchadnezzar reacts in anger, and he determines that he is going to destroy them in a fiery furnace. And so he orders them bound and cast into a furnace after it had been heated 7 times hotter than it had previously been heated, than it normally was heated. In fact, the fire was so hot that the men who tossed them into the fire perished. It was so hot that those that were throwing them in, they died. Now, I want you to, as you consider the fire this morning, realize that nowhere in the Bible does the Bible guarantee that just because we are servants or saints of God that we will escape the fires of life. The fires of life will come. They'll happen to every one of us. Our faith will be tried. When troubles come, They seem to concentrate their power against our faith in the Lord. And that's what the devil would like you to do. He would like you to start second-guessing God's faithfulness to you. He wants to do all that he can to make Christians doubt that God has enough power to meet their need. John Wesley was used to trouble in his life. In fact, he thought it was so uncommon when he didn't have trouble. One day as he rode to a preaching obligation, it dawned on him that not one person had thrown a rock at him all day long. It bothered him. So he got off his horse, got on his knees, and began to pray, confessing everything that he could think of. About that time, a piece of brick sailed past his head, barely missing him, and then following the brick was shouts of persecution. They had heard him praying and they stopped to mock him and to persecute him. But what did Wesley do? He jumped up and started shouting, "Glory! Praise God!" And then he continued his journey. He knew that trouble would stalk the servants of God. Sometimes I wonder, when things are so quiet in my life and the devil has left me alone, maybe I'm not doing enough. I should be doing something to make him angry with me, something to get him upset. And so servants of God will experience some trying times. A clean life does not mean a protected life. Sometimes God will take the holiest, the cleanest, and the best, and he will take them and he will put them into the flames. Not so that he can watch them squirm, but so that he can use them for his glory to prove that he's still God, to prove that there still is a God on the throne, to prove that God still is working in the hearts and lives of those who love him and work for him and trust him and serve him. So I want you to consider the fire. Secondly, I want you to commit the fire. Commit the fire. These three men committed the fire to the Lord. Now, when they faced the fire, they knew that they were not able to face it alone. Therefore, they committed to the power of the Lord and trusted him to take them through. Our God is able to deliver us from thy hand, O King. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down and worship this image that you have set up. When we face our fires, we too should commit them to the Lord. And there are some truths that we need to keep in mind, truths that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had learned. Would you turn over there real quickly to Daniel chapter 3? First thing that they did was that they remembered their connection to God. Look at verse 17, Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. "If it be so, our God whom we serve." Their connection is to God, and their connection is that they serve God. "If it be so, our God." Take notice of those two words, very important, "our God." These men knew that they had a special relationship with God. These were the sons of God by faith. That, can I tell you, that's a very good relationship to have when the fires of life come. You know, trouble comes upon all people. Job says, "Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward." Everybody has trials. Everybody has troubles. But I have to be honest with you, people who don't know God, I don't know how they get through them. These three Hebrews had a connection with God. We can have a connection with God too. We can call him our Father. We can call him our Savior. These men had this relationship with God. The same is true for you and me. We're not just bums wandering through this world. We are children of the King. Our God is the creator of this universe. He is an all-powerful, omnipotent God. He owns everything that we see. He's perfectly capable of taking care of us in our time of crisis. And if you're a child of his, you never need to fear him bailing you out, because he has promised to be there with you through it all. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you until the very end of the age." Remember your connection to God. Secondly, remember the control of God. There's two words that make this whole thing very hopeful. Verse 17 again, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able." Two very important words, "is able." God is able to deliver you. These are words of faith. These men knew that the fire was hot. They knew that the fire could destroy them. They knew there was no escape, at least as from a human standpoint was concerned. As they faced the fire, they knew that what it could do to them. However, as they faced the fire, they were also able to have faith during the fire, faith in the fire. They knew that if they were thrown into the fire, their Heavenly Father had the necessary power to bring them through it. And you know what? God has not changed. He's still the same God. He's still the all-powerful one. He is still able to do exceeding great and powerful things. He is still able to deliver you and to do whatever it takes to bring you through this trial. He's still God. He's stable, still able. And even if you go into the fire, God is still in control. It's like God has his hand on the thermostat, and he knows exactly how much heat you can stand. In fact, everything that happens to you is filtered through the plan of God, and he works out all things for good to those who love him, that are called according to his purposes. The young eagle, you know, when it's time for the eagle to leave the nest, the mother will literally throw the infant from the nest. And as this eaglet plummets to earth, vainly attempting to fly, at the last minute, the mother eagle soars down, catches her infant, brings him back up to the rock, brings him back up to the place of safety. She does this day after day after day. Finally, eventually, that little eaglet learns to stretch his wings and learns to fly, learns to soar. And as he soars, he learns to fly high above the storms. The storms are now below him. He's flying so high. You know, God knows best, and there's times in our life, I think, when he kind of pushes us out the nest. And we're plummeting to the earth, and we're thinking, I can't fly. What am I going to do here? At the last minute, God swoops down, brings us back to a safe place of safety. So I'm going to teach you to fly. I'm going to teach you how to rise above the storms of life. I'm going to teach you how to rise above your trials. And he continues to do this on a day-by-day basis until we learn to soar. Now, he doesn't just do these things to be mean to you. He does them to help you grow. And he knows that if he never challenged us, you know, if God never challenged me, I'd never grow. But it's through the challenges in life that I learn to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number three is remember your commitment to God. Way back in the first chapter of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel himself were faced with a test. And at that point, they proved faithful in that testing, in that time of temptation. And they had purposed in their heart that they were going to serve the Lord and they were going to do what was right. You know, they could have, and so when they got here, they could have been tempted to quit, but they didn't quit because they realized some things. They realized some things that we need to realize. One of those things is that God will never allow us to be tempted above that which we are able. But there will always be a way of escape. There will always be a way to bear it. Another thing that we need to learn is that during the worst trial Jesus ever faced, he didn't quit. When Jesus went to the cross, and even before that, as he sweat drops of blood, and he said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, I don't want to quit. It's not what I will, but it's what you will. It's what you want." And so Jesus didn't quit. He didn't quit on you. He went all the way to the cross. He went all the way to the point of death and shame. And he died on that cross. He died for your sins. He died in your place. Why? Because he had made a commitment to love you. For God so loved the world that he gave, and Jesus loved his friends so much that he was willing to lay down his life and to give up his life for you. Another thing that we need to learn is during the hour of temptation and trial is when the truth of your profession is proven. You know, it's easy to make vows and commitments to God when things are going well. But when things get difficult, and they will, It is in these times that we have the opportunities to honor the commitments that we have made to the Lord. Commitments, which, by the way, are binding. The commitments that you make to the Lord are binding commitments. He holds you to them and keeps you accountable to keep them. So consider the fire and then commit the fire. And the third thing this morning is to conquer the fire. How do you do this? How do you conquer the fire? How do you become fireproof? How do you fireproof the trials of your life? First of all, you overcome by the presence of God. Remember that when you face the fires of life, you will never face them alone. These three guys were cast into that fire, but an amazing thing happens. Instead of dying in the flames, they are actually loosed from their bonds and are walking around in the flames. Nebuchadnezzar comes, he looks in, he can't believe his eyes. And so he orders them to come out, and when they come out, they are unharmed by the violence of those flames. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the flames, they also found out something else. They found out that they were not alone. Because that Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, and he said, 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait a minute, didn't we throw three guys into the furnace? How come I see four? And the fourth is like the Son of God. He couldn't believe it. And here are four men walking around in that fire, loosed, set free. Even in Babylon, God kept his promise to his people. We have the same promise. And can I tell you, when your difficult times come, and when there are trials and the temptations of life, and you are thrown into the furnace of affliction, and you face those trials, open your eyes, because there's somebody there with you. Jesus Christ has promised that he would be there with you. And this is the first time I really ever saw, as I was looking at this passage this week, that they were free in the fire. The bonds were gone. They were free in the fire. And you know, when God sends us through the fire, sometimes it's to burn off those things that bind us. It's to burn off the bad attitudes and the bad habits and the besetting sins, so that you are freer in the fire than you were outside of the fire. Often persecution seems like the worst possible thing that can happen in our lives. Again, think of John Wesley. He wanted to preach in the pulpits of England, but his doctrine was so different, his message was so contrary, that he was forbidden to preach in the churches of that day. So he was thought to be bad. He thought he had been deprived. But you know, God knew something that John Wesley didn't know. He knew that the masses of people that needed to hear his message were not in the churches of England. And so John Wesley set out to preach in open air. And people flocked to hear his message. See, he was going through the fires of being excommunicated and deprived of the pulpits of the churches. But him and Charles, and over here in America, George Whitefield, three great fiery preachers for God, began to preach out in the open air, where people literally by the thousands came to hear their message and were won to Jesus Christ. See, the ropes that bound them, the fire came and burned those ropes off so that they were free. The fire of God has the power to set you and me free from things that would hinder our walk with the Lord. They were in the fire, but they had no hurt. The fire did not burn them. By the way, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at verse 26. The Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. When we withstand the fire, it will show other people, people that are watching, how we will respond to see what the fire will do to us. It will say to them, hey, these people really are the servants of God. They were preserved by the presence of God. Secondly, overcome by the preservation of God. You know, when these guys came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. It's impossible to be around people who smoke. Go sit up there at Quick Trip the day after church in the smoking section and see if you don't leave there smelling like smoke. These guys had no smell of smoke on them whatsoever. I'm sure that they were sniffing to see. There was no sign of smoke on them at all. What a miracle. But that's like God. That's like God. Because when God saves, he saves to the uttermost. When God heals, he heals completely. When God forgives, he forgives completely. Whatever he does it all the way. He's a powerful God. He's able to get you through your affliction for his glory. They're overcome by the power of God. God is able to take care of his children. And whatever you are facing today, let me just encourage you, God is bigger than that. Just ask David about Goliath. Just ask Noah about an ark and about a flood. Just ask Samson about blinded eyes and a temple full of Philistines. Just ask Joshua about Canaan land. Just ask Moses about wandering 40 years in a desert place. Just ask Mary about a virgin girl giving birth. Just ask Paul about a Pharisee preaching the gospel. Just ask Abraham about him having to be asked to give up his son. Ask a dying thief upon the cross about a Savior. See, God can do anything. God is able to do anything. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. You overcome by the power of God and then overcome by the program of God. God had a higher agenda in allowing these men to go through the fire. Sometimes he'll spare us from the fire, but here his program was to send them through the fire and deliver them that way. He brought them out, though, in such a fashion that he gets all the glory and these men learn some things about him. He may be using the fire in your life to spread his message. And then finally, how do we overcome? How do we fireproof our life? We overcome by the promotion of God. One of God's primary reasons in sending us through the fire is to purify and to promote us. See, the truth of the matter is, you won't be very effective for the Lord until you go through some fires in your life. You see, the fire has an amazing ability to burn off the impurities and to cleanse the object so that it can be powerful. See, when God melts you, he's about to mold you into a vessel that he can use for his glory. Peter wasn't much use until God melted him and burned off his pride and some of his strong-willed nature. God melted and molded him and fashioned him into a vessel of great honor and power. Another one that comes to mind is Jacob. Jacob, whose name means trickster. He lived up to that name every day. He was a deceiver. However, one night he met God by a river, and God melted Jacob that night, and God molded him, and God even changed his name to prove that he had changed his character. Jacob was a different man, no more called Jacob, but Israel. As a prince, he had power with God and prevailed. After he faced that fire, he was useful to the Lord. Even as someone as pure as Joseph was melted in the fire before he was promoted to the glory of God. So with all of this in mind, let's rejoice when the fire is kindled in our lives. It might be tough for a season, but that only means that the Lord is preparing you for some great work. He's preparing you to do something great with your life because they were faithful to the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had passed through the furnace. And on the other side of that furnace was a promotion. They were promoted in the kingdom of Babylon. And I think the same thing will happen to us as we go through our trials and we fireproof our life and we respond properly to the trials and the afflictions of life. On the other side of that furnace is a promotion. Is a promotion that God is willing to give you and wanting to give you in your kingdom. You know, you cannot stand on top of Mount Carmel until you have sat beside the valley, the dry brook, in humility. You cannot lead the nation of Israel until you had learned to shepherd somebody else's sheep in the wilderness. There is always this time of testing. There's always this trial. There's always this place of weakness and humility before we become strong and before we get the power and God can use us. I think Gideon understood this real well. Gideon was a captain of 32,000 men. But 22,000 of those guys went home fearful, went home afraid. He's left with 10,000 guys. He's going up against the great Midianite army. Of those 10,000 that he has left, 9,700 of them are rejected by God. That leaves him to be a sergeant of 300 men going up against an incredible army. And in fact, the other army started calling him names, calling him this barley cake. Today we'd say it's the equivalent of a dog biscuit. He's nothing but a dog biscuit. And God takes a dog biscuit and 300 men to defeat the entire Midianite army and to show his power and his glory. God will do the same thing in your life. If you're going through a trial right now, if you're going through a time of testing, if you are in the furnace of affliction, what God is simply trying to do is to grow your faith. He wants to grow your faith because when you come out of this trial, there's a promotion. The glory of God waits. God is getting ready to use you and glorify himself through you. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And so consider the fire this morning. Consider that fire. Could you consider that this is a fire that maybe the Lord wants you to go through? Could you commit to the fire? You commit to it. But as you commit to it, remember your connection to God. Remember the control of God. Remember your commitment to God. Because as you do, the third thing is that you will conquer the fire. How many here today, by an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm going through a fire. I want to fireproof my life. And so I'm considering the fire. I'm thinking about it today. I'm committing the fire to God, and I'm trusting that through him, I will conquer this fire. Could God see your hand? Just up and down. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord, that you are with us through the fires of life. Thank you, Lord, that you will never leave us alone, that you will never forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that through you, we can conquer, defeat all of our foes. Lord, I look forward to testimonies that will come out as people say, I've been through the fire, but I'll tell you what, God has been faithful. God has brought me through. And now look at the testimony that I have. Look what the Lord has done for me. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.